had a good visit with him. They told him that the budget will bear down heavily on consumption, and the chancellor said it was actually more restrictive than he would like personally, but it's also more restrictive than any figures that have been published, which the highest one had been extra taxes of $150 million, and so they think it's perhaps $200 million and something like that is what it'll be, which the people in Paris, all the other countries had said that would be perfectly adequate and would allow them, they think that was proper and they'd ready to go ahead. In addition, they said they're going to take a leaf out of our book and take some restrictive measures on capital outflows, which have been quite large for investment overseas in England. And they'll try to cast the whole budget in a balance of payments framework, stating that they're aiming at a balance of payments coming into balance in 1966. Something like that. They do feel quite confident, and Callahan said that no matter what it costs, they intend to hold sterling at 280. Now, the rest of the conversation bearing back on what happened in Paris was also quite good, because there was a relatively complete isolation of the French in the whole meeting there for the first time. We've been trying to do this for a long time, but Fred Deming succeeded in getting it done for the first time. This time there was a discussion by the group of the French surplus and what they were doing to get rid of it. And every country there criticized the French. The French didn't indicate they were going to do anything about it, but when the meeting was over, the secretary, who's the Dutchman, said, well, I think we better come back and discuss the French situation again at our next meeting. So they're beginning to get the same sort of thing in reverse that that we've had in the past. And I think that's all quite good. And the results have been more favorable, really, than we would have expected.
That's good news.
The other thing is, I should have said, Mr. Deming told Callahan that he had come over there unexpectedly because I'd called him and indicated you were interested in this, that it was very important for us, and that was the reason he was coming to express that interest, and so they know this is something right from the top.
Now, Mac Bundy, has he talked to you this morning?
No.
He and Rusk, I think, and I have kind of agreed on a moderate course here. He says today is a very bad day for Wilson because of the Commons thing, and he's got three things that are running into him that he thinks, though, we've got to act with Kermit going. So he is talking to his counterpart with Wilson, who Wilson talks to us through every day.
Yeah.
And he is saying this to him, that I met with you and Martin and the Council of Economic Advisors yesterday and the new secretary, that we found some nervousness in New York and in Congress, and they're troubled about what may come in this new budget. That I didn't think that I wanted to trouble him with it today with his other problems, and we looked over our stable to see who we thought was Wilson's best friend to give that we could give our views to, and we decided it's Gordon, and asked him to go over and state to him our concerns and what we worried about, and that Gordon will be there tomorrow to do that. And that following Gordon's visit with the Prime Minister, that we will probably, the Prime Minister will want to call the President or vice versa. Instead of my calling him now, it may look like I'm throwing my weight around a little bit. And I told Mac to check that out with you and then ask you to tell Martin. I don't want Martin or you to think that I don't want to call him. I'm rather think that this appeal to me has been the sound way of doing it and not...
I think this is fine because the combination of that
with
Deming's
visit,
which will get to him immediately, report on it, will... make it clear that the interest comes not just from the Treasury Department here, but from you. That's all that's the thing we want. That's all that's needed. And I think that the situation sounds as if it's on the track, so he doesn't have to reverse himself or anything, but just keep his chin up and go ahead the way they seem to be going.
Let me ask you this. Suppose they started raising the hell out of me on my excise taxes to the standpoint where it embarrassed me. Couldn't I just take the position, well, we just won't have a bill this year?
Oh, I think you could. Well, sir. I think you could. I think you can hold them down. I think they'll want to go a little bit above what we've got, but I don't think that there's a pressure for anything really as much above as some of these people have thought. Because I think this we've been able, and we've sent this draft over to the budget. In this $1.75 billion, we give something absolutely to everybody except for the automobile people, and we propose a method over the next 5 years to reduce and get rid of that. And the same way with telephones over a 5-year period. And I think that means that everybody's really taken care of. They may want to, there literally is only one tax aside from automobiles and telephones that wouldn't be completely abolished this year, and that's the tax on securities, which amounts to $150 million, and we recommend that for next year. So it would be, if you approve that, I think you have a program there that's going to be, the automobile people are going to put up an awful squawk, but they have an awful poor case because they're making more money, selling more cars, and they don't really need it.
And I thought you got a mighty good hand last night, and I appreciate your being there, and I think it's a tribute to you. I saw you on television this morning. I thought that the questions were good and the answers were good.
Well, thank you. I've been trying very hard to find the way, I think we have, to handle that Secret Service thing, so it's all right.
Oh, it's the only way to handle it. We don't demand uniformity in this government. We never have. Since you've been Secretary of Treasury, you've always expressed to every president your views. These are your views, and they're very strong. And the president, on the other hand, didn't feel otherwise, but you told him what you were going to do, and he said okay.
I think also it's a personal thing that everybody understands, that no president and no individual would want to go up and say, I want twice as many people to protect me.
Of course, I never have agreed with y'all.
Yeah, I know that.
I may be wrong, and of course, I'll have to get killed to prove it.
That's another difficult part.
I'll see you tonight.
Okay, thank you.